You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It is a very special afternoon's program too. Well, not that they're all not very special, quite obviously. But this one goes for only 2 hours because of the test match over there at Adelaide. And it's the last of the year for me. So heading into doing a bit of brekkie with the great JA, who'll be on the program a little bit later today. So there you go. G'day, afternooners. Thanks for tuning in. However you are listening, SEN welcomes you to our very broad house of worship. And just to let you know, we still haven't had clarification around that lunch on Monday the 19th. We are working on that. Stay with us. That was with the great Harry. SEN Gold Coast 1620, SENQ Brisbane 6:93 a.m, SEN Sydney 11:70 a.m. Download the SEN app. Massive show coming up. Let's go. Jaleesa Apps from Channel 10. What's trending with Coach K? Gareth Hall will give us a tip for the weekend. RJ Ochoa will give us another tip for the weekend and go through what's happening in the NFL Week 14. Tristan Merlihan to give us some prices for the weekend. Afternoon's Amplified. And Jason Sangar from the Sydney Thunder. He's the captain of David Warner. The text line is there as well for sbsfence.com.au. We are going to be flat chat, so let's go. Come one, come all. The haters, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. David Warner has, via social media, given up on attempts to overturn his leadership ban amid what appears to be, this is the words of Peter Lawler, a chaotic and dysfunctional process instated by Cricket Australia. Now, I look at what they've asked David Warner to do, go through a public humiliation, and it won't be anything else. So let's not kid ourselves. It would not be anything else other than a public humiliation, and say fair enough. Fair enough that David Warner has said, oh, that'll do me. You know, I've tried and tried and tried. I've badgered you. I've pleaded with you. You can say what you like about the initial reaction from Cricket Australia. Massive, massive overreaction, in my opinion. But for have it 4 years later, on the eve of a test match, when his mate Steve Smith is about to captain it, and then he's still being asked to do this via a public hearing? Nah, give it away. Give it away. As he said, there's more important things in my life, most notably his family. So that's what he's decided to do. And if you want to make it public, okay, what about Steve Smith publicly? What about Cam Bancroft? What about Darren Lehman and Peter Hanscom? What about that? Why don't we get some understanding of what they think publicly about what went down in Cape Town in 2018. The timing on this is atrocious. And you can blame David Warner for it, but Cricket Australia are just as culpable. The timing on the eve of a test match. The distraction is the last thing Cricket Australia and the Australian team want or need. As I say, you can blame David Warner. I don't. If you've had enough, I totally understand why David Warner said, nah, leave me out of it. I've had enough. But Cricket Australia, in my opinion, are also saying this. Yes, we opened things up. Yes, we allowed you due process. Yes, we gave you the opportunity to get back to a leadership position in Australian cricket, but we actually don't want you as captain. In fact, if you were to leave, quit, retire, whatever, so be it. That, to me, is what Cricket Australia are saying to David Warner. That almost looking at what he's done on the field over the last 2 years and saying, hang on a minute, the end might be nigh and he might be someone else's problem if that's the way they view him. And clearly they do. Someone else's problem, then so be it. His form, his ability to score runs at this time of his career in this home summer when there are test series against India, an Ashes series in England, and a World Cup 50-over tournament in India, which you would think he would be an absolute lock for, will be fascinating and one of the stories of the summer. I know people have had their say across all the different programs across SEN during the course of today, but I find it fascinating. 1300 01 1170. Give us your thoughts. In my mind, it's Cricket Australia saying, all right, we can be seen to be doing the right thing, and then we don't have to do the right thing at all. We'll speak to Jaleesa Apps about that a little bit later on in the program as well. But there's a cricket game on, and it's an important one because whenever you play a test match in Australia, they're important games. Here's Steve Smith's thoughts on captaining this Australian side.
I'm pretty chilled. Took over for the game here last year and thought it worked pretty smoothly, so same again. I don't think he was too far away, and he'll continue to build this week. I think with what's coming up, obviously a big series against South Africa and then obviously tests in India, there's a lot of cricket, so I think we've made the right call and he'll be fine to go for the next test match, I'm sure.
Talking about the previous captain, Pat Cummins, or the existing captain, he's out for injury. Why was he even in Adelaide? You know, Mal Conn said it yesterday. Why was he even in Adelaide? It's absolutely ridiculous. But maybe he and Andrew McDonald were dealing with this David Warner situation. I'm sure they've held conversations over the last couple of days. In fact, keen-eyed spies watched as Andrew McDonald, Pat Cummins and David Warner walked laps of the Adelaide Oval a couple of days ago. So no doubt this would have been on the agenda. So, Pat Cummins is out. Scotty Boland returns. I think he'll be okay. 18 wickets in 3 tests at 9.55. Here's the Australian cult hero.
Sort of half expected it. Had a really good chat to Pat last night at training, and he sort of outlined what his plans were and where his expectations were. But it was nice to know from him that if he was out, I was going to be in. When you're in such a good environment like this and you get to bowl with guys in the nets like Pat Cummins and Josh Hazlewood, I think you're always going to improve, and even bowling to some of the best batters in the world, I think it's helped my game, and hopefully next week I can bowl well again.
If he wanted to be an elected representative, okay for your life, Scotty Boland saying everything right there. So it starts today. You'll hear it across the SEN network. That's why we're finishing up a little bit earlier here. 3 o'clock Eastern time it starts, but the broadcast will start from 2 o'clock. So make sure you're getting ready for this. The FIFA. We've got to talk about the FIFA. Guzman and Gomez, fast food that athletes say yes to. And I say the FIFA because I've just completed watching FIFA Uncovered. It's a damning documentary series on Netflix. Thoroughly enjoyed it. But Sepp Blatter, the amount of hubris on offer there and with everyone else in FIFA is startling. Do yourself a favour and check it out. So quarterfinals, Croatia-Brazil, that's Saturday 2 a.m. Netherlands-Argentina, Saturday 6 a.m. And then Morocco-Portugal, Sunday 2 a.m. And England-France, Sunday 6 a.m. Can't wait for those. Isn't it funny? I'm not a football fan. It's not in my top five. Why can I not wait for these World Cup quarterfinals? That is all thanks to Guzman and Gomez, home of the clean, healthy burritos. Bowls that athletes say yes to. Oh, he says, and he spat the dummy, Cristiano. But don't worry, A-League Chief Executive Danny Townsend said, and this is there was genuine interest in Cristiano coming to the A-League. Danny, come on. When you say stuff like that, Danny. So, look, he's saying we're now going to turn our attention to another marquee signing, and that the schedule was not quite right, and that the World Cup was a barrier because people didn't want to get out of that routine that they were in. If you start at Cristiano Ronaldo, like we've all done it in the nightclubs, haven't we? Where do you finish up? That, Danny, is going to be a fascinating watch over the course of this next summer. Who does the A-League get as their marquee signing? Cristiano, there was genuine interest, and then he said no. Shaquille O'Neal. Now, Matty Logue reporting in the Daily Telegraph, Larry Kesselman is the owner of the NBL, but apparently Shaquille O'Neal is interested in investing. A huge amount of interest, quote unquote. So serious conversations were held a little bit earlier. We know how successful Shaq is. He's just done a big TV deal, but don't worry, that's just part of what he does as a businessman. $400 million USD, apparently, his net present value. And he's a shrewd businessman, said Larry Kesselman. So the point of it is, what is he investing in the team? Does he invest in the league? How does he get a payout? When does that happen? When do you have the liquidity event? So what do you got to grow broadcast rights? Can I throw – I'm going to get Coach K's thoughts on this because he's our basketball correspondent. So how? How do you grow the league? The league that's been there and is growing, but not at a rate that you would think would attract Shaquille O'Neal or indeed anyone else who is to add value. But how do you make this league bigger? Can I throw up an option? Make it the NBA of Southeast Asia. You have massive populations that have a love of the game. So whether you could incorporate within the NBL or in a wider structure, but teams from the Philippines, Indonesia, China, Japan, all on a similar time slot with millions and millions of people who are interested in it. Why wouldn't you have a basketball equivalent of the Champions League, like a club competition? That there's something. Now, if you took that to Shaq and said, hey, Shaq, what about this? What do you reckon, mate? I think that's something that he could be interested in. Maybe you got some other ideas about how Larry and the NBL team could grow the NBL. I would love to hear them. Bit of news around in the NRL. Apparently Wayne Bennett texts Mark Nichols, who's part of the SEN team. Well, he did one show anyway. Do you want to have some fun? I just wonder whether Mark thought he'd sent it to the wrong person. But anyway, that's how it started with Mark Nichols heading up there to Redcliffe. Wayne Bennett's also confirmed that Tessie knew is of interest to the Dolphins. So Tessie, we reckon, was fourth option fullback at the Brisbane Broncos. He's played about 30 games for the Bronx, but we thought he was about fourth option fullback. So Broncos fans, maybe north of the border, even south of the border, thoughts on Tessie Ngou joining the Dolphins? If I'm the Broncos, I'm releasing players. If I'm releasing players, I'm saying, no, you can't go to the Dolphins. You want them to be fierce crosstown. I don't know, it's a long way across town. Fierce crosstown rivals. I would have thought. And then the other one was CSC for Talakai has apparently re-signed, according to Channel 9's Danny Widler. A couple of years they've got him for, three in fact, and that's on the back of a year where he played State of Origin. He played for Tonga in the Rugby League World Cup. So now they've got Ronaldo Mulitalo. Jesse Ramian, Sione Katoa, and Will Kennedy have got to sort out what they're doing. So they've got Mulitalo and Talakai, and they've got to work out what's happening with Jesse Ramian, Sione Katoa, and Will Kennedy down there at the Sharkies. Now, this is something that Coach K pointed out to me as well, and that is Dana White's had his say on soccer, football, whatever it is. Remember, he's the boss of the UFC, has done for the last 20 years. He's grown it into a behemoth. I was talking about James Magnussen, talking to James Magnussen about it a little bit earlier. You know, they control everything, absolutely everything. He's not that impressed by the biggest sporting event on the planet, though, the World Cup, which is garnering huge audiences everywhere, in particular the USA, which, of course, are hosting the FIFA World Cup. Here's Dana.
Soccer? Whole nother ballgame. Can't stand soccer. I think that it's the least talented sport on earth. There's a reason three-year-olds can play soccer, okay? You run around and kick a ball. Yeah, Landsberg said, you wouldn't say that if you were in Brazil. I said, dude, I say this in every country. When you're playing a game where the net is this big, right, and the score is 3-1, are you shitting me right now?
That's a blowout.
Do you know how, untalented you have to be to score 3 points when the net is this big?
I'd love to know Dana's thoughts on the Morocco-Spain nil-all draw. Round of 16. Do you ever get a sense that someone's just a little out of their lane? Do you get a sense that maybe an appreciation for the nuances of football? And hey, I'm not here to tell you what they are, but may have bypassed Dana. But anyway, thought a bit of fun with that one. 1-300-01-1170-0457-736-736. Send your text messages in. David Warner et al. As I say, come one, come all. The haters, the lovers, the dreamers and me. Speaking of, we've got the dreamer, Jaleesa Apps. She's from Channel 10. She's up next. Stick around. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.